Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, but we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, we live in a religiously pluralistic society. We have plenty of people in this country who believe in almost every religion that man has ever come up with. There are many people who, in fact, don't believe in much of anything. And likewise, there are multitudes of different versions of Christianity within our society. There's now a strong, I guess the word is, relativizing trend in religious matters. And that is that the toleration of plurality has indirectly led to the embracing of plurality. You see, as time has gone on, denominations have become not only tolerant of one another, but are now embracing one another. As, in fact, America learns more about the Eastern religions, their concepts and their ideas are becoming more tolerated. And with that toleration comes acceptance. And all of this has led to an attitude that it doesn't really matter where you go or what you are religiously. In fact, in the minds of some people, it doesn't really matter if you go anywhere or if you profess to be anything religiously. And this is the way it is, but is this the way it should be? Does it really matter if we assemble with others for religious purposes? Do the differences between churches really make a difference? And why can't we just go to the church of our choice? Isn't what I need from the church service the most important thing? I want us to examine these matters, and I want us to see whether it does matter where we assemble. First of all, we need to consider the question of, is assembling necessary? You know, an idea that has gained great popularity is that a person can be just as good of a Christian and stay at home. Or the idea that a person can be a good Christian and not be a part of any church. And there is great disillusion in the minds of many people regarding this word church. Rather than seeking to find the Christianity that we read about in the New Testament and do away with all of the institutional trappings of denominations, many people choose to just not be a part of any form of church. So it would be good for us to ask, is assembling necessary? If yes, it is necessary to assemble, then we must determine why that we assemble. Well, first of all, assembling is necessary because God commands it. In Hebrews 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, God commands us to assemble. And also in the context of what we read in verse 25, the reason that we assemble is given. So let's go back in Hebrews 10 and look at verse 24 and again read verse 25 and also verse 26. Hebrews 10, beginning with verse 24, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." So here we have, in Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 26, understanding that command, that God has issued the command for us to assemble. And in these three verses, we see the reason why that we are to assemble. We assemble in order that we are to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So that's the purpose of our assembling. Therefore, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But we see that it was certainly even something that was obvious in 2,000 years ago, that there were some who did not consider the matter of assembling important, because it goes on and says, as the manner of some. But instead, we need to exhort, we need to encourage one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Because verse 26 also says, if we sin willfully. So God has given the command to assemble. God has given the reasons to assemble. Now, if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. But too, while we're on this point, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In verse 12, "Even so you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel." And then when we look at verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 14, "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edifying." So here in 1 Corinthians 14, in fact, the entire context of 1 Corinthians 14 deals with the matter of the church being assembled and what the primary consideration needs to be as a result of the outcome of assembling together, and that is edification. All through 1 Corinthians 14, we are to assemble, we are to come together, and the purpose is for our edification, our strengthening, our building up of ourselves spiritually. So truly, one of the purposes of the assembly is to encourage the saints. God did not have to establish local assemblies for church, for Christians to have association. He could have left us out on our own. Yet, for our good, in His wisdom, He established local assemblies of His people. So therefore we can see that the assembly is there for our benefit. And we are depriving ourselves of spiritual gain, and we deprive others of spiritual gain when we do not assemble. You know, when one comes right down to it, the biggest loser when we do not attend assemblies is ourselves. So therefore, let us strive to assemble so as to receive the benefits and to bestow benefits on others as God has so intended for the assembly to accomplish. So now that we have determined that assembling is necessary because it is a command of God, and we've seen the reasons that God has given for our assembling and coming together, let's ask the question, are all churches the same? You know, there are many people who agree that we should assemble as Christians, but they believe that all churches are essentially the same and that there are Christians in all churches. You know, it's easy to understand this belief system when you look at the current denominational landscape. Most denominations, while having distinctive belief systems, have worked hard to agree to disagree, and to not only tolerate one another, but also to accept one another. There's been such a reduced emphasis on doctrine that most of the time there is essentially no distinction between most Protestant denominations. You know, the evangelical movement and the social gospel have also led to blurred lines between religious organizations. And so we ask, are all churches the same? And while it is that we can see many churches are similar, it is not true that all churches are the same. In the scriptures, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, we have a list given to us of seven things that are mentioned in those verses. And of all of those seven things, it says there is but one of them. And we notice in Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, that it says there is one faith and there is one body. We find in Colossians 1 and verse 18 that it says that the body of Christ is the church. And we find in reference to the church that 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 says that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And when we look in Revelation chapter 2 with the beginning of the letters that were written to the seven churches that were located in Asia, that the church is not to tolerate false teaching, nor is the church to tolerate immorality. Well, from these scriptures, we can speak regarding the church that Christ recognizes, first of all, that it'll be one. Second of all, it will only accept and stand for the truth. And third, it will reject all error. When we look at the denominational world, we see that most churches do not meet these credentials. How many denominations are content to agree to disagree? And you know, when this happens, no one is in error because there is no right or wrong. Many churches for years have lived by the concept that you're okay, I'm okay. And how often do denominations compromise God's truth? You know, we're now seeing many denominations that are in acceptance of homosexuality, adultery, and many other forms of immorality. And some even go so far as to attempt to rationalize and harmonize it all with the Bible. Friends, there are certainly differences between churches. The differences lie in whether they are recognized by Christ or not. Christ will not recognize those who do not do the will of the Father. He said that very clearly in Matthew 7, when he said in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Churches that seek to do the will of the Father, they're going to uphold the truth, and they're not going to accept error. Let us strive to be such a church. And we'll continue this study tomorrow. It's until then that we see our time is gone. We appreciate you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Under them, we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.